Okay, so this is the Sovereign Archive. This is my podcast. And I'm currently sitting in my very hot room looking at what was originally supposed to be an intro, which made me sound really like wordy and intelligent and made this all seem very logical and sensical and had a lot of brevity. And if you know me, I'm not very good with brevity. I don't have very much. So this is the Sovereign Archive podcast. This is a collection of my writing and my work, and kind of all the things that I'm constantly having bounce around in my head. This past year, I've had the opportunity to take writing a little bit more seriously and had some of my work featured in a variety of different podcasts and online sources, including my own website, which hopefully will be linked in the description for this podcast. And this is our first episode. This is our little prologue. This is the opening of the archive. And by God, it is a fucking work in progress. I'm currently recording this on a free app using just my phone microphone with three different tabs on my laptop in front of me about the things I'm going to read to you. So all I can say is that this is going to be a bit of an adventure in terms of quality, in terms of consistency, in terms of wherever the hell it goes. It is going to be an adventure, absolutely. For now, the stories will be short, whether that's poetry or flash fiction. Jeez, I'm already messing up my first episode. How about that? And really, this is just gonna kind of be a work environment where you can experience my work in the same way that I experience it, which is off the cuff, organically, naturally. Hell, at some points, you might even get 3 or 4 5-minute episodes a week of just short things that I have made. I find that as a creative person, as silly as that sounds, I am someone that just kind of does things. The hope is that as quality improves and I get something like an actual microphone, excuse me, that this podcast will become more consistent, the stories will get longer, and this will sound less like a crazy person who got their hands on a free podcast app. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody that's kind of been pushing me to do this and thank the gods of fate for the free time that I have to do this and make this, and I hope that things go well. And well, let's go ahead and get a start on it. The angry, unfamiliar star gets closer every day. It throws mean light over Cretacea, makes the gem green jewel of Jurassica look sickly under nasty light, blanches the red deserts and crimson badlands around Triassic in searing white. Ferns lilt, flyers chirp ugly possibilities on the wing, and it all rains down like so many bad premonitions. But Bobby ain't scared. Bobby is big as a mountain, old as the sea. His people are the backs of the sky and the muscles of this mighty earth, each one a nation containing multitudes. Starlight seeps down brachiosaurus scales to drench the world in constellation light. His steps beckon cartographers as each one reforms valleys, reshapes the deltas. The unwelcome star threatens all that. Bad dreams beckoning fire and ash. But Bobby ain't scared. The big brains on two little feet tell him the plan. Simple as can be, simple as gentle breezes and succulent plains of ferns for munching, simple as all things natural and correct for something so titanic. Bobby uproots himself, throws mountains from his flanks, stomping new seas in his wake. Thinks about the plan the same way the constellations change across eons. One word, one purpose. Swing. Each step a fathom, a whole damn league, stride upon stride, until without much notice the continents are different. Bobby is a big stepper. Spectators abound. Flyers choke riot above in frantic colors until they don't, leaving all that big empty between Bobby and the rock. Each breath a hurricane, thick and sweet and drenching this place in twirling storms that'll nourish 10,000 forests for ages to come. Bobby stands tall and vast, tail flexing. The star that is a rock gets closer, bears angry flaming teeth that blaze and gnash. Closer by the heartbeat till everything is pale and shadowless. Bobby ain't scared. Bobby does what he came to do and swings. Fear rises up and out into the night. The horned face emblazoned with markings like terrible piercing eyes thrust forward and out, guided by instincts with the force of a living locomotive. Steam billows out of gaping nostrils. In the dim brain of the Triceratops, it is gripped by awful primeval terror. Fight, live, fight, live. Jaws crash down, heavy, impossibly heavy, fatal. Moonlight catches impaling teeth, massive blunt daggers meant to pulverize bone and concuss flesh, pulling giant chunks from still living prey. The Tyrannosaurus is death in the Cretaceous world. It is emperor and regent over all living things. It is the epitome of annihilation born in flesh. Its black hide almost glows in the night, darkness on darkness. So fast for something so huge, blurry, a mountain astride legs, legs as thick as the cedars of the biblical behemoth. Step, 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 bite. Horns reach, push, sweep, jaws crack, close, yawn open to a furious gullet. The titans dance, spin, graceful and brutal. Beneath them stir mammalian vermin, aghast at the earth itself, shivering, splitting. Tiny rodent minds flicker, flash, sputter, all as if this was a divine catastrophe. Minuscule furry bodies scurry in their burrows, down, down, down. Hot blood splashes on scuffed ground and black rock. A triumphant horn slashes at muscular belly, and the resulting roar feels like it could shatter the moon to glittering bone pieces. Instinctual motions, the envy of yet unborn military men, springs the tyrant forward and over and kicks one clawed foot out, 10 tons of weight on a singular foot as momentum carries it forward. The Triceratops coughs in surprise as its legs go out from beneath it, body half-turned, faltering under the speed of its own frantic spin. Something cracks, broken, huff, huff, huff. Terrible regent jaws loom, replacing the moon and stars and sky with a single black maw ringed by infernal teeth. And then, darkness. It sits there. How long has it been? No one remembers where it came from. When it had arrived here in this dank little corner, silent and watchful, none of the bright, multicolored lights illuminated. This place is cursed. Here be dragons, says the darkness. Turn back. It's a tall unit. Taller than most others. Imposing and geometric, sharp sides that scream future and I'm not for kids. Exactly the right bait for those willing to try, to undertake the test at the behest of small clustered crowds staring into the corner domain with eager youthful bravado. A looming black display crisscrossed by thin red stripes, silver hexagonal patterns, slick and new. The screen glows green, stares out at the world in quiet, unsettling judgment. Black patterns unfold and unfurl in complicated miasma, an interlocking labyrinth perpetually scrolling past. The simplicity is potent, powerful, almost too mature. It feels mathematical. There's something more there in the flickering, something hungry. No joysticks, no buttons, just the black sheen of the case, the green stare of the screen, Not even a slot for coins. What the hell? It feels the eyes on it, the watchful stares, eager and nervous voices close by. Feels their intentions. Come and play, it says. At the head of the case lies one word, emblazoned by the same esoteric hexagonal structures. Polybius. The world changed. Boundaries shivered. Something that had been right became wrong. Just for a moment, just long enough for the slightest passage. No fanfare, no drama, no alights and catastrophe. Just the motion, just the transition. Easy, simple, welcoming. The world slid around the visitor like so much smooth water becomes glassy and transparent, moving quickly across river stones. And then it was over, unnoticed. This place was like the last one, a warm, comfortable night, moonlight thrown down from a crescent slash across verdant growth, murmuring water not far away. Voices, maybe, but hidden as small living things sang their final climactic choruses in the omnipresent dusk. The hum, hiss, chirps came everywhere, in a multitude of directions. Opportunities, all of them. The thing lay still, unmoving from its arrival. An impossible chill radiated off of the strange, glossy shell in shimmering waves. Steaming faintly like so much unnaturally foggy streamers. Anyone nearby would have noticed their breath despite June heat. But already, icy tendrils and summoned flakes were dissipating, leaving only wet traces here and there, exposing the thing. It tasted the air. Unseen cracks and pores flexed. Inhaled? Exhaled, scented growth, sensed heat, tasted motion. Unnatural senses unfurled in an eerie kaleidoscope. Somewhere at the core of the thing came excitement, eagerness. Something dark and wet shivered, shook. There were voices now, close. Everything else had fled away into the incoming darkness. Birds flittered and squirrels dodging, insects silenced and stilled. So the voices came, close. The thing had no need to detect their joy, no desire to catch the flirtatious tones. Words meant nothing but signifiers of life, mind, and potential. The bodies neared. They shone warm, bright as stars, vivid with pheromones and heat. The thing spied deeper, elated at glimmering brainwaves and lightning neuron leakages, all awash in so many dancing colors. Memories, thoughts, feelings, innate ancient drives that were beautiful, even striking. But they paled in comparison to the thing, felt tiny and childish to its own singular drive, the final purpose that even now came in increasing waves. So close. But the thing had to wait, kept itself tidy, tight. Moonlight and sunset vestiges glinting in cool, cold rivulets across its chitinous exterior. The voices were close, closer, closer, just there, just at the edge. They mingled and tangled, brought so much rising into the air. The thing knew it could not fight its instincts any longer. It shivered, it shook. And it grew.